Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, we talk Jets football with Brian Costello, and Brian Costello's report is brought to you by Winters Brothers, Long Island's number one choice for waste removal and recycling services, by CSEA Local 830. We work for you by Security Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, Suffolk County's number one volume dealer, and by Digital Ally. Capture Truth, a proud partner of MetLife Stadium. Mr. Costello, happy holidays to you. How you doing?
Same to you, Richard. I'm doing well.
All right. Well, two more games to go. Steeler game and the Bills game. I don't give them much of a shot in the Bills game, although you never know. But this is an interesting game. I mean, obviously, there's no Roethlisberger there, and you've got I don't know. Do you buy this whole revenge factor with Le'Veon Bell? I mean, even though he won't say it, you know, a team that let you go, that didn't sign you, a coach that has not made too many comments. Do you think a little extra motivation?
I think there might be some added motivation. Revenge might be too strong, you know. But I think he's going to be fired up for this game. You know, and I think Adam Gase would be smart to give him the ball early and let him kind of get that out of his system. And I think once the game gets going, you'll forget about all that. But I think early on, he's probably going to be fired up and wanting to, run for 80 yards. So I think the Jets probably give him the ball early and try to get that out of his system as quick as possible.
Well, you know, offensive line has been so key to his success or non-success this year. And now Compton is going to be out at right guard, so you got Cavale or McDermott playing.
Yeah.
So another offensive line combination for the Jets. It goes on and on.
This will be their eighth offensive line combination this season, which is hard to imagine having eight different offensive lines. And this will be, I think it's going to be Connor McDermott starting. He'll be the 10th offensive lineman to start this season for the Jets. So, you know, I know everyone's kind of banging their heads about why Le'Veon Bell hasn't done better. I mean, I think the number one reason is the offensive line. And it wasn't a great offensive line when they were 100% healthy with the guys they wanted. And then now they've been down to, you know, eight different combinations. It's been hard to find any continuity on that line all season.
Well, speaking of offensive lines, the Steelers' offensive line has been terrific over the years. They've got a Pro Bowl center who's just constantly, you know, pouncy being there.
Yep.
How do you stop the run against these guys? Yeah.
Yeah, the Castro don't pouncy. The one the wind is good. Foster's good. That's the Jets' specialty. So that they're going to have to, you know, do what they do. They're number two in the NFL against the run. So I think if you were to pick one thing that a team does well, as a Jets opponent, you'd want it to be running the ball. And honestly, the Steelers haven't really run the ball that well. They're 26th in the NFL in rushing. They just do it a lot. They're just committed to it and hoping to break one because they're limited right now with Doug Hodges at quarterback. They're not able to throw the ball very much. They're 31st in passing offense. So, you know, which is even worse than the Jets passing offense. So that's where they're at. But I think, you know, the Jets defense, that's their specialty. They're just going to have to avoid the big plays. And I think that, you know, the Steelers are going to try a lot of screen passes and short passes and things like that. They're going to have to keep everything in front of them. And then if Juju Smith-Schuster plays, which he's practiced all week, he wasn't fully committed yesterday to playing. But if he plays, then, you know, the Steelers will have another dimension that they haven't had in recent weeks, and they'll have to worry about that.
Yeah. And, looking at the Jets, you would think this would probably be a pretty low-scoring game. I mean, I'm thinking along the lines of 17-14, something like that, maybe?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, I think the over-under is like 37, 38, and I would go under. This is going to be just what you said. It's going to be a sloppy, ugly, defensive-dominated game because the Steelers are really good at defense. The Jets have been pretty good at defense, and they have a lot of guys coming back this week. Jamal Adams, Quinnen Williams, Brian Poole, Arthur Millette, who's playing pretty well before he got hurt. So their defense should be back to, you know, what it was a month ago or so when we saw that they're playing at a high level. And not quite what we saw against the Ravens, although I don't know, even if they were at 100%, how they would have looked against the Ravens with that offense. But I think this will be a defensive battle. And to me, the key to this whole game is, can the Jets keep Sam Darnold upright? The Steelers have 49 sacks this season, number one in the NFL. T.J. Watt has 13 sacks. Bud Dupree has 9.5, right? So we just talked about the Jets' offensive line. They're going to have to figure out how to get that ball out of Sam Darnold's hands quickly. And Sam is not going to be able to sit back there and get to his third read. You know, he's going to have to get the ball out quick. And that, if they can do that, you know, and move the ball, that's the key to the whole game to me.
Well, I mean, you talked about Hodges, and not to compare Darnold with Hodges, because Darnold, I think, is a more advanced QB, but same situation where you're throwing the ball into the backfield, you're doing some play action, maybe some rollouts and things for Darnold.
Yeah, I think, I mean, rollouts might be tough. These guys, you can't do that when you have elite edge guys out there like T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree. So I don't think they'd be rolling out so much. I think it'd be three-step drops, get the ball out, slip screens to the wide receivers, which, you know, we've seen as a staple of Adam Gase's offense. He does that normally anyway. I think they're going to be doing a lot of that. And then, you know, take a shot to Robbie Anderson every now and then, or Vincent Smith on the other side, who's pretty fast as well. But to me, yeah, it's going to be a lot of short passing and, you know, just trying to keep Sam Darnold off the ground, pretty much.
Yeah, and, you know, do you think about draft position at this point in terms of winning and losing games? I mean, at this point, the Jets are kind of, they're not in the middle, but they're not at the bottom either. So what do you do?
Well, I don't think they can think about it. I think about it. but I don't think they can think about it. Maybe Joe Douglas thinks about it. But Adam Gase doesn't care about draft position right now. He needs to win games, you know. So the players certainly don't care about it. And I don't think you can play that game too much, Richard, because look at all the teams in this league right now that are like 5-9, like the Jets, or four, you know, the Cardinals are 4-9-1, or 6-8. There's a really big bunch there right now. So I just don't think they can be really thinking about that at all. You just got to kind of play it out and see where it falls. And, you know, once you get out of that top three area, you know, it stops getting as quite as huge a swing. It's just, can you find the players at that point?
Yeah. And even in the top three, mistakes are made.
Yeah.
You know, there's no guarantee. So I think certainly a player mentality is never to, hey, you're playing for your future,
never.
Not just for the team. You know, you're going to sign with another team or you're going to be with this team and your money's at stake. So they got to play hard. As you mentioned, Adam Gase needs to win games. So it's all really kind of academic at this point. You don't even know who's going to declare and who's going to be good in the combines and all of that stuff. So it's very
premature. It comes down to how good is Joe Douglas, Richard. It comes down to, we've seen it with the Jets in the last decade, you know, outside of Jamal Adams and I think Sam Darnold, they have not done very well. You know, even in the first round, their picks haven't been great. You know, Leonard Williams is a NFL player, but he didn't live up to what we thought he would be. But think about the guys like Calvin Pryor and Quentin Coples and Dee Milner that they've drafted through the year who really didn't pan out at all. So it's going to come down to Joe Douglas and his staff and how well they evaluate things. I understand fans being into the draft position. I think the draft has become this huge thing, and especially like Giants fans, and that's with the Redskins. I get, you know, the Chase Young Bowl is going to be reminds me of when the Jets played. But what's funny is the biggest one I ever remember covering where the draft position was talked about was in 2014. Jets played the Titans right around now, late December, might have been a week earlier, and it was the Marcus Mariota Bowl, right?
Yeah.
That's how it was dubbed. And the Titans won the game, and so the Jets. And the Titans ended up taking Mariota too. Jameis Winston went first, and now the Mariota's benched, and he's probably not going to be with the Titans next year. So you never know with the draft.
You know, you've spurred something in me here, and I wonder. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it in print. But has anyone asked Adam Gase about Tannehill and the success that he's enjoying down in Tennessee? Because he's clearly a different player than he was in Miami.
Yeah. We haven't asked him about it because it hasn't really been a huge thing for us. I think when when the Jets played the Dolphins, the coach always does a conference call with the writers from the other town, and I believe the Dolphins writers asked him about it, because I know I saw a quote about it, and you know, he just complimented the way he's been playing. I don't know if Adam's watching every game that Tennessee plays, so he might not know exactly, but, you know, certainly I understand the question about, is Tannehill thriving without Gates? You know, it's a fair question, but I think when you look at it, Tannehill had a pretty good season in 2016 when he was healthy with Gase, then he tore his ACL, and he was out for 17. And then last year he had a shoulder injury, so he missed a lot of time. So I don't know, you know, it's not a full sample size with Adam Gase in Miami to me. He had one season, and he didn't even finish that season. And then, two, I think Derrick Henry is having an outstanding season in Tennessee, and that helps. And the third thing to me, Richard, is when you're a first-round pick, and I've experienced this with the Jets, like, everything you do is through that prism. You're the first-round picker. So if you make a mistake, it's, oh, my God, every story will say he was drafted sixth, he was drafted eighth. When that first-round pick leaves and they go somewhere else, they're just another guy. And the pressure's kind of off a little bit, and I don't think every story that's written about him in Tennessee is going to say he was drafted eighth. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, your hopes and dreams aren't in that player, you know.
Yeah.
Your visions of sugar plums aren't with that guy. It's just a guy you got from another
another
he's a former first rounder. Yeah, where was he drafted? I don't remember. Well,
right.
See what
There's
he can
no
do.
Expectations. Like, he came in the Tennessee with no expectations. He's just going to be a backup. And I think that helps guys sometimes. But the biggest thing to me is he's healthy, you know. But and also, along those lines, I thought Leonard Williams going to the Giants hurt him in that regard, because Leonard didn't get away from the first-round pick thing when he went to the Giants, because it's all the same media covering him, not the same beat writers, but the same outlets, and they all know the history of Leonard. Like, think if Leonard went to Kansas City, you know, no one would be talking about how he never gets a sack.
Well, and a lot of it, too, is – you know, how much a team gave up to get him in the trade, too, which the Giants have called under criticism for. Out of time, but have a great holiday, and we'll talk to you next Saturday. Brian, thank you.
All right, Richard.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.